here. Peter Brooks is a senior fellow for National Security Affairs at the Heritage Foundation, and Peter is joining us at a very opportune time because Rex Tillerson is on his way to Moscow. And in the process, he's going to meet with the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. And Peter's here to discuss what that's all about. Peter, welcome to Mornings on the Mall.
Good to be with you.
So right out the gate, what do you make of the fact that Vladimir Putin will not be meeting with Rex Tillerson, despite the fact that he met regularly with his predecessor, John Kerry?
Well, we don't know that Putin is not going to meet. It's currently not scheduled. There could always be a last minute change. But if he decides not to meet with him, I would say you could consider it a snub over Syria. So we'll have to see exactly how this plays out. But if the president calls and he's in meetings with the foreign minister or something along that line, they can make time for him to get over to the Kremlin to meet with Putin.
Okay, so yesterday there was some breaking news out of the Associated Press that was interesting. A lot of course, the dismay between the United States and Russia involves Syria specifically in the last week's chemical attack and the United States missile response. And then yesterday we find out that maybe Russia knew in advance that this chemical attack would take place. Do you place any stock in those reports, and how serious is that for Rex Tillerson's conversations this week?
Well, it's certainly an interesting note. There's conflicting reports on that coming out of the Pentagon regarding whether they knew in advance. They bombed the hospital where some of the victims were being treated. Some people feel like that was some evidence, or supposedly a Russian drone bombed the hospital where some of the victims were being treated. That could cover up some of the evidence. But it's a pretty risky thing for the Russians to acquiesce to that as a national policy. First of all, they agreed in 2013 that in the move to take chemical weapons out of Syria in exchange for the United States not taking any military action and Syria signing the Chemical Weapons Convention, that it was it's risky for them to do that because it's possible that it would become uncovered. It's embarrassing for them in the international environment to see that they were essentially advocating the use of chemical weapons. So it's possible, but I think it's a pretty risky choice on the part of the Russians. I think there's a lot of downsides to them using it, although there's been lots of reports prior to this. I mean, this latest chemical weapons attack used sarin gas, a nerve agent, which is terrible. But they've also been reports of before this of the Bashar al-Assad regime using chlorine gas, which is also considered to be a chemical weapon, not as horrific as the nerve agent, but still terrible. And the Russians probably were aware of that. So and told them to knock it off. So I think it's pretty risky on the part of the Russians to go ahead and acquiesce or condone the use of chemical weapons by the Bashar al-Assad regime, especially since it might have created a reaction such as it did.
Well, we know that John Kerry in 2014, President Obama in 2015, and Susan Rice as late as 2017, January of this year, told us that they had negotiated that whole deal with Syria, and they gave up those weapons. And 100%, John Kerry said, 100% gone. So where did they get the chemical weapons from this time?
Well, you can produce them. I mean, it's very, even if there are inspectors and people checking on and monitoring it, there are opportunities, since they had the capability previously, to reestablish that in secret. It may not be a large scale mass production of these sort of things, but still it was, it's something that can be done. I mean, chlorine gas, for instance, which is another type of chemical weapon, is readily available in industrial processes. I mean, it's something that you can easily come across. Sarin is much more complicated, but if they had the capability previously, there's no reason that they couldn't establish another clandestine operation to acquire a nerve agent like sarin.
Now, where does China stand in all this? Russia is with Syria and Iran. Most of the world is standing with the United States as far as responding to the chemical attack. Where's China?
Well, China has been kind of quiet about it. China has, a general policy of not wanting to interfere in the internal affairs of other countries, and they've blocked efforts to condemn and sanction Syria at the United Nations. But they've been kind of quiet, especially coming out of the meeting with Trump. In fact, I was kind of surprised. I thought that President Trump would do something against Syria. But I was a little surprised at the timing. I thought because he had President Xi down there and there was so much at stake that he might wait till Xi left the country or, the meetings ended. But it appears to me that, and I can't speak for the president or the White House, but it appears to me that he decided to send a signal not only to Syria and Russia, but he decided to send a signal to China about these sort of international infractions. And probably it also related to North Korea, which was the subject of their talks down there at Mar-a-Lago. So China's been kind of quiet about this issue since it left, President Xi left Florida. And, you know, there are things still on the table. They're supposedly going to work on trade issues. So maybe they just decided to be quiet about this for the moment, since it already took place, and to see what sort of relationship they can develop with the United States. So right now they've been kind of quiet about it.
And now North Korea did respond by saying that condemning the missile attack by the United States on Syria, Kim Jong-un's regime. But do you think China took away? You said that it was that this may have been an effort by the Trump administration to send a signal to China and the rest of the world about the way it would handle things internationally. Do you think China took a message that the United States would want them to have, a sort of a positive response here?
Well, we're not sure. You know, that's not quite clear. We'll have to see what happens in terms of Korea. But I'd be careful about equating what we did in Syria with doing something similar in North Korea. Syria can't do much to us in terms of the sort of potential that North Korea has for doing things to our troops in South Korea, to our troops in Japan, our allies, the potential to reach out and touch the United States with a nuclear-tipped missile. Syria is not in that category. So it is different. But I think that, you know, President Xi was probably taking a measure of President Trump during their meetings. And they probably felt that the president acted decisively and was willing to use military means when he didn't have to. I mean, he could have decided just to condemn it. He could have decided just to implement greater economic sanctions, which I understand the White House is going to do as well. But it showed him to be decisive about these international events. In fact, I understand the president made the decision to bomb Syria before he left for Florida to meet with President Xi. So, yeah, I think the Chinese should take something away from this, as well as others in Tehran and, of course, Russia, Syria, and anyone else who would go against American interests.
Well, thank you so much for making us so much smarter. There are so many questions on this, and it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in the coming days, maybe even weeks. A lot of people talk about going to war and all this. So we're going to keep you on the line, you know, on the roster here, so we can get more updates from you. Peter Brooks from the Heritage Foundation, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.